And now as we continue with our studies in the life of David, I want to direct your attention today to the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Way over at the end of the chapter, here is what we read. Verse 47, The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed for evermore. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, very humbly we approach thy holy presence. We desire in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to thank thee once more for thy continued care over us. Truly we can say, great is thy faithfulness. And now as we think of the verses we've been reading, the chapter from whence they are taken, we ask thee, O God, to help us to enter into the truth of these things and be able to join in with thy servant of old and sing a song of praise unto thee. Take our thanks now and bless every listener for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now sometimes in the Christian's life, there are times of sighing. Who is there amongst us that hasn't had a time when they had to sigh? For life isn't easy. The hardships come, no matter who you are. But life is not always sighing. Sometimes they're singing. Now, I know there are those who would sing, I feel like singing all the time. Well, that's good if one can do that. But I think most of us will have to admit this, that while we would like to sing all the time, there are times when we don't feel like singing. There are times when we feel like sighing. Now here in this chapter, David bursts out into a song. There have been times when he was sighing. Just in the previous chapter, there was a famine for 3 years, and surely that would cause one to sigh, to get into the presence of God and search the heart. But now when we come to chapter 22, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. Of course, you know that when you go over to the book of the Psalms, there we have 150 of them. And these are beautiful things. And many of them are used even today for singing purposes. You know how we sing those psalms. I'm sure every one of my listeners has at some time or another entered into the spirit of some of these beautiful psalms, and you've sung, The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Or you've been found singing, I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come my help. Or it may be that you've been singing, Lift up ye gates, and the King of Glory shall come in, and so on. You love to sing those beautiful psalms. God is our refuge and strength. So David was a man who in his day wrote a great number of songs. Here one recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Now, it reminds us of this, that away back in the book of Exodus, we're introduced there to David's ancestors. They were just a whole crowd of slaves down in the land of Egypt. Day by day they were sighing under the lash of their taskmasters. They were slaves down there, badly treated. And they were sighing day by day, and in their sighing they began to cry to the Lord for help. The Lord heard them. The Lord delivered them out of their bondage. You know the story. But did you ever notice that when he brought them over the Red Sea, and you come to Exodus chapter 15, it's there that they burst out into a beautiful song. In fact, Exodus 15 has been pointed out over and over again as the first record of a song in the Bible. And you know, in this particular song, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Notice their song was directed to the Lord. And it was a song all about the Lord. They said, I will sing unto the Lord, his triumph gloriously. So their song was a song of redemption, a song of deliverance. It had to do with what the Lord had done, and it was like a song of praise and a song of thanksgivings to the Lord for what he had accomplished on their behalf. Now that being so, when we come over here to 2 Samuel chapter 22, we find that David is bursting out into a song. He's not sighing here, he's singing. Now then, what is the subject of his song? Oh, we know that the object of his song is the Lord, for David spake unto the Lord. And so he's directing his song to the Lord. You know, sometimes I feel that we are apt to be sidetracked on a great number of these things. I know there's a text in the New Testament that has been applied perhaps in the wrong way, where it says, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And some folk have interpreted that, perhaps right, perhaps wrong, that it means that you have to sing to one another. But it seems to me rather that you're singing in your heart. It's not a matter of conveying a message to someone else in your song. It's a matter your heart is overflowing with thanksgivings and your song is going out to the Lord. I suppose that in the olden days that most of the congregations who met, they had what they called their congregational singing. In these days there was no hired singing. And you didn't pay for special singers to come along and sing the special pieces. Why, the congregation joined together in the songs of worship. They praised the Lord. And after all, perhaps that was the right thing. And David spake unto the Lord. And so his song is directed to the Lord. But then the subject of his song is also the Lord. For he's singing in these words, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You see, David has something here to sing about. For not only is he singing to the Lord, but in the opening four verses here you'll discover that he's occupied with extolling the Lord. I suggest to you, if you care to make a good examination of them, you'll find that the finest hymns that Christians have ever sung have been hymns that extol the Lord. Perhaps we're getting away from that at the present time, but may the Lord help us to get back again to some of these old hymns that extol the Lord. I admit, of course, there are some modern ones that also extol the Lord, as such as How Great Thou Art, although you must admit with me that is not a new hymn, you know. That was an old hymn that was lost for many years, and then someone got hold of it, and they had it translated into our language, and so therefore it became very popular. And then there are other old hymns, of course, that extol the Lord. That's exactly what David is doing here. He magnifies the Lord for his delivering mercies. Now, he's telling us here that the Lord was his deliverer. He says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress and my deliverer. Now, at the end of verse 1, he's extolling the Lord who delivered him out of the hand of his enemies. Now, I suggest to you that he's thinking back now over the many years of his life that have gone. And he takes them all in one sweep, and he says, out of the hand of all his enemies. And then he singles out one in particular, and he says, out of the hand of Saul. Now, with his mind centered on these delivering mercies of the Lord, he now says three things about the Lord in verse 2. He says, the Lord is my rock. Then the Lord is my fortress and my deliverer. Perhaps this is a kind of pen picture of where men can run in and be safe. Of course, David knew what it meant to be sheltered in the rock. An outstanding case was the time when he went to the cave Adullam, and there he lived in the caves in the rocks. And so he said, the Lord is my rock. Now you take the literal thing first. David went over these mountains, and he found the cave of Adullam. And with his men, he went in and lived there for a considerable time. In plain words, it was his place of shelter. He was sheltered in the rock. But now David takes, I suggest to you, that literal idea, and he gives to it a spiritual meaning, and he says, the Lord is my rock. Just as David hid in the rock, so now he says, I've something better than that. It's the Lord who is my rock. In plain words, I can hide myself right there in the shelter of the Lord's mercies. You know, my friend, I don't know of anything better than that. You know, just before the start of World War II, throughout Great Britain, they had what they called their air raid shelters. Some folk were digging their air raid shelters in the backyard. Others had to go to what they called public shelters. Down in the great city of London, the people went night after night down into the stations of the London Underground, the subways. And so therefore they went down there to be sheltered. But I ask you this, do you know of any better place to be sheltered than under the shadow of the wings of the Lord? And so David said, the Lord is my rock. Just as there were times when I had to shelter in the rock from my enemies, I can see now it was the Lord who sheltered me. Further than that, it says, the Lord is my fortress. Now get the picture. Here is a king who perhaps was going to build for himself a fortress, a stronghold. But first of all, he looks for a good foundation. He gets a rock, and on that rock he builds his fortress. Now he said, not only do I have a foundation rock, but on that rock I have a fortress. And just as the enemy would be unable to get at the man who was in his fortress, for there he would be able to fight off his enemies, now, says David, not only is the Lord my rock, the Lord is my fortress. Therefore, he is my deliverer. You know, I like this. David isn't taking any praise to himself here whatsoever. David is not saying, now see what I have done. See the mighty victories that I have gained. He's not doing that. In his song, David is addressing the Lord. He's speaking to the Lord in the words of his song. And in his song, he's occupied with the Lord. The subject of his song is what the Lord has done. You see how that corresponds with the song away back in Exodus 15. There they were singing about all that the Lord had done for them. And you know, it's a very interesting thing that when you come over to the very last book of the Bible, and you come to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, you discover there a whole group of people, the redeemed, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Notice, the great army, as it were, of the redeemed in heaven, as pictured for us in Revelation 5, again are bursting out into a new song, and they're still occupied with the Lord, and they're telling us what the Lord has done, and how He has gained this great redemption. And they're saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You see, it's all being ascribed to Him, the great Lamb of God. Now then, David in 2 Samuel 22 then is bursting out into song. Whether he played his stringed instrument at this time or not, we're not told. But you know, David was quite a musician. Right from the time he was a young lad looking after the sheep, he was also a singer. You might well have called him the singing shepherd. But here he is now. He's the singing sovereign. He's a king on his throne, but he hasn't forgot how to sing. And he's singing to the Lord, and he's singing about the Lord. He magnifies the Lord for his delivering mercies. Now, if the Lord has delivered him, see what he says. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. You know, I like to think here that what David is doing is he's making a personal application of truth. Notice how often he uses this personal pronoun, my. He says, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my shield. He's my salvation, and so on. He has made a personal application of these things. You know, that's why when you take the words of David from Psalm 23, and you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, not simply saying the Lord is the shepherd. David is not saying the Lord is the Savior. He's saying here, why the Lord is my shield, and the Lord is my salvation, and so on. Now in verse 4 he says, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Have you ever thought of all those enemies that he had? Why, Saul was his enemy. Saul, you will remember, we looked at in one of our studies, where Saul was throwing the javelin at David, trying to nail him, as it were, with that javelin, and he missed. And I pointed out then, David didn't lift the javelin and throw it back at him. David kept praying for Saul. The time came when David had the opportunity, he could have slain Saul, and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take Saul's life. And even after Saul was dead, David says, don't tell anybody. Don't let the Philistines hear about it. Keep it quiet. Great man had fallen. And then David had other enemies. He had Abner. If Saul sought him to slay him, Abner would have slain David. Then his own son, Absalom. Absalom, you remember? He had the rebellion against David, his father. He chased him from the city and went after him. He would have slain his father in order to take the throne. Oh yes, David had enemies. Over and above that, he was the young fellow who went out and stood before the Philistines and slew Goliath. Time and time again he went to battle, and he always defeated his enemies. See, David had a lot of enemies. Now as he looks back over the years of the past, he takes no praise to himself whatsoever, for this is what he says, "Thou savest me from violence, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." In plain words, his whole confidence is in the Lord. He's praising the Lord for what the Lord has done for him. And now because of that, he says, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." Now, that's a great scriptural principle, to call on the Lord. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? These are the principles laid down in the New Testament. Let me ask every listener, has there ever been a time when you called upon the Lord? Was there ever a time when you had intelligent dealings with God? Now, I'm not asking, my friend, if there was a time when you joined the church. That's not what I'm asking. And I'm not asking if there was a time when you went into the waters of baptism. What I'm asking you right now is this. Do you know the Lord? David knew the Lord. Was there ever a time when you come to grips with God? He said, "I will call on the Lord." And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In your trouble, my friend, have you ever called upon the Lord? Look again what he says in verse 7. "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He did hear my voice out of the temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." You see, not only was there a time when David learned to call upon the name of the Lord, but he was continually calling upon the Lord. Now I ask you, was there a time when you first came to know God? Was there a time when in your distress, under the conviction of sin, you cried to the Lord for salvation, realizing this, that He and He alone was able to save you? If there was, might I ask you again this? Throughout your Christian experience, do you know what it means to get into the presence of the Lord and call upon the Lord in your troubles? David knew that. That's what he's telling us here in his song. He's singing about it and telling us how he called on the name of the Lord. Now, let us hurriedly look at the closing verses of this great chapter. Here's what he says in verse 50. "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." You see, he's still praising the Lord, and he's giving thanks to the Lord. I wonder, do we take time to give thanks? You know, you've read in the Bible about 10 men that were cleansed. And out of the 10 men that were cleansed, only one came back with a loud voice. He was praising God and giving thanks. The Lord says, "Where are the 9? Well, they're not 10 cleansed." And while there were 10 cleansed, only one came back to give him thanks. "Oh," says David, "I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." Why? "He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore." My friend, if you know the Lord, you've got something to sing about. You've got something to give thanks for. You've got something to rejoice about. So therefore, don't let our lives be all times of sighing. Remember, there's times for singing. I know one dear old lady. She doesn't enjoy the very best of health. She's been in hospital quite a lot. But she made it a practice, at least up till recently. Each night before she would go to bed, she'd sit down at her piano, and she would sing and play, and she would sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Then she'd have a time of prayer and retire for the night.